Philemon. Philemon 1 and verse 24. Philemon 1 and verse 24. The Bible says here, Paul, in sending these greetings to Philemon, he says, Marcus, we looked at things about Mark. Aristarchus, looked at things about Aristarchus. Now tonight, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Demas, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray, dear Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Demas. Well, we probably already know, you know what happens to Demas. We're going to look at that. It was not always so with Demas. It was not always so. We know what the Bible ends up saying about him. But it wasn't always that wasn't always the case with him. Here Demas is called Paul's fellow laborer. He's listed with Marcus, Aristarchus, and Lucas as Paul's fellow laborer. This was written, this letter to Philemon, approximately, best can be ascertained, it was written approximately around AD 62. Okay? Well, go to Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians 4. Colossians 4 and verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Okay. So Demas is right there again. Faithful, faithful. This was written about AD 64. So the book of Philemon, roughly AD 62. Book of Colossians, about AD 64. So AD 62, Demas is a fellow laborer. AD 64, 2 years later, he's still in there. He's with Paul. He's faithful. He's still in there. All right, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. This was written around AD 68. What happened? What happened in 4 years? What happened? We really don't know completely what all happened. We just know the final result. And 4 years earlier, Paul was writing to the brethren at Colossae, and he said, Demas sends a greeting. Demas is with him. We're there with Luke. No problem. 4 years later, he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica. What happened? Well, we know what happened. He departed from Paul. But why? Why? Well, we really, in a way, we know why. The Bible says he loved this present world. He chose something evil over something good. Because take your Bible and I'll show you what I mean. I'll show you why I can say that. Go to Galatians 1. Because does not your Bible say, having loved this present world? It said, having loved this present world. That means Demas chose something evil over something good. Pastor, that harsh? Yes, that harsh. Because he says, having loved this present world, right? Well, look what the Bible says in Galatians 1 verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Demas forsook Paul, having loved this present world, but the Bible describes this present world as an evil world. Demas loved this present evil world more than sticking with the things of God. Now, someone might say, well, no, he just departed from Paul, but he departed because he loved this present world, which is a present evil world. It's not just Paul. It's not just Paul. There's something more to it than that. There's something more to it than that. Was he truly saved? We don't know. We really don't know, and that's the shame of it. It says he departed from Paul, not the Lord, yet look at why he departed. He loved this present evil world. That's why he did it, that the Holy Spirit bears witness to in Scripture. He loved this present world, this present evil world. Go to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. First John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he was lost. It can mean that he's lost. But what we definitely know is he didn't have the love of the Father in him. He wasn't loving God. He wasn't. At least at this moment in his life, he is not loving God as he ought. Was he saved? Was he lost? Well, flip the coin. That's the whole sad thing about it. Brethren, you and I do not want to live so that somebody's got to scratch their head and wonder. Well, he started good. He started out good. But I don't know. What do you mean? Well, there's no other way to put it. He just got to loving the things of this world. Brethren, haven't you seen saints who started loving the things of this world? And they started putting... I just don't know. As a brother I knew, I told you before, he's the one that gave me the one belt buckle I got. It's a nice buckle, AB1611. The guy handmade some of those, and it was his buckle. He gave it to me, and that guy, he loved the Bible. Man, he loved the Bible. Man, you get around him, that joker have his Bible with him all the time. I mean, just all the time his Bible was with him. He was just, he'd be willing. And he went off to pastor where his family was. I'm going to tell you something. No matter what you do in life, you better be sure God's in it, but especially when you go back to family, you better be sure God's in it. You better be sure God's in it. Because that can be a dangerous situation. It's one thing if God's in it, but he went back to family. And I remember he came down to visit me, and whereas used to, he could not let that Bible leave his hands. This time, he could not let a soccer ball leave his hands. Well, brother, nothing wrong if you like soccer and that's your thing and you play a little pickup game with somebody. You guys throw the football out there. There's nothing wrong with that. Well, he started, I don't know if he joined a league, he may have. But it was soccer, soccer, soccer. And used to, he couldn't let go of his Bible. And I mean literally, he could not let go of his Bible. There was a joy about him that I hope it was real. There was definitely a joy about the Word of God, I hope it was real. I don't know. But I started noticing. A lot of times he would call and want to talk about the Bible. But he wouldn't call in much. And when he did call, it wasn't the same. I thought, something ain't right. And that soccer ball was always in his hands. And there were some problems between him and his wife started. And next thing I know, didn't hear anything for a long time. Next thing I know, not only is he no longer pastoring, he's in jail. His marriage is destroyed. The state he was living in declared him a danger to himself. Committed him. Tried to kill himself at least once, I think. I tried to find him through the years. I've tried to contact. Somebody gave me his number. Well, I don't know if he knew who it was or just wouldn't pick up the phone. I couldn't get out. Tried. But his wife told me that it started happening to where that he would only pick up his Bible. He would only pick up his Bible when it was time for church. He's pastoring. He would only pick up his Bible when it was time for church. And he wouldn't touch it much during the week. And again, I don't know what the deal is. I don't know. But once again, I don't know if he's saved or lost. I can't help but wonder because of some things that's happened. It's pretty bad that he's maybe never known God. I don't know. Something's wrong. I know this. There was a time he loved the Word of God. And he started having a soccer ball he couldn't keep his hands off of. And you know something? I don't know if this means... I'm not saying this means anything. This is not... But before all that started coming out. But you know, before something ever comes out to where others can see it, it's there. You do know that. Before something starts coming out where others can see it, it's already in the heart. All right? But I'll never forget, I was visiting with him. And he was talking to me about his Bible. I'm telling you, he loved his Bible. He loved it. And I noticed he had a different Bible. I said, what happened? He goes, man, I left my Bible in the back of the car and it flew off and just destroyed. He lost his Bible, right? I was like, wow, that's... And I'm not saying that can't happen. Those things that just happen. But you know your Bible's dear to you. Your Bible, especially one if you've got some notes in it and you personalize the thing and it's just dear to you. I mean, I'll be honest with you, brethren. There's some Bibles I've got some notes in and some things. Man, it would... You'd go through it and everything, but it hurt. You know what I'm saying? Not that you're worshiping the thing, but it'd be a loss because, man, that's personalized. That means something to you, you know? And I was like, wow, I hate that happened. And I don't know, because you can lose your Bible. Something can happen. It's just a physical, you know, it's the words that in your heart that matter. But anyway, I've just wondered. I've just wondered at times if there wasn't something symbolic in that, or if there wasn't something already going on in the heart. Because some things started becoming manifest. I don't know. But what I'm telling you, brethren, is this. He started loving, I don't know what all he loved, but I know he started loving a soccer ball. And there was a time that the Word of God had that preeminent place. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. While you guys go out there and you toss the ball out there and you guys, I'm glad you do that. Like Sister McDonald said, she goes, Pastor, it was so good to see these kids are not immediately after service, or the folks in the church are not immediately after service, you know. She goes, we go into churches, and she goes, as soon as service is over, boom, everybody's got them out. She goes, a blessing to see these kids play. And I'm glad. I'm glad y'all get out there and do that. Man, throw that ball. Just don't worship that ball. Throw that ball. Just don't love that ball more than you do the things of God, more than you do the things that matter in life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in it. Well, what does the Bible say? Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Well, there it is. So guess what we know? Demas did not have the love of the Father in him. Did he never have the love of the Father in him? I don't know. All we know is at that time he didn't. Was he lost? Maybe. Was he saved? Maybe. What we do know is when he departed from Paul, the love of the Father was not in him. And brethren, when we're no longer using the things of this world or enjoying them in the proper and reasonable sense, when we start loving the things of this world more than the things of the Lord, then something's wrong and something's dangerous. And we better check things and grab them real quick. Maybe we're saved, but he wasn't loving God as he ought. But what a shame it even has to be questioned. You know, the Bible shows us here that nothing changes. And I know we've gone through this before, but brethren, sound and good things have to be repeated because it's the same old principles. Listen, it's safe for us to go back over this tonight because nothing's changed from the beginning in the book of Genesis chapter 3. The very same things Eve was tempted with and were presented to her were the same things presented to Christ Jesus and the same things here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in. For all that is in the world, what's in the world? John? Brother John? In 1 John, what is in the world? The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Those are the three things that are there in the world. You could probably put all sin under one of those headings. You could probably put those three headings and all sin lies under those. The Bible says, and those things are not of the Father but are of the world. Those are the very three things that Eve was hit with. Those were the three areas Christ was tempted with. Go to Genesis 3. Genesis 3. Genesis 3. But the devil doesn't have to change anything or come up with anything. The same temptations are the same one that he's still going to hit everybody with. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Look at Eve. Genesis 3, verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, lust of the flesh, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, lust of the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, pride of life, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Look at that. Wow, that's Genesis 3, man. That's the start. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of man right there. And here we are in 1 John 3. What? About 4,000 years later, roughly, you know? Same thing. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Those are the three areas that got Eve with. And when Eve got taken, here comes Adam. What were they? What took Eve? Lust of the flesh. It was good for food. Do you know something? What is evil about something being good for food? God said, of all the trees of the garden, thou must freely eat. God gave you appetite. God gave you food. God gave you taste buds. Well, God just said, not that one. But she saw it was good for food. Think about it. Guess what that means? Guess what that means? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. And brethren, somebody says, what kind of tree was it? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why somebody thinks it has to be a tree that we have nowadays blows my... It doesn't have to be that. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All right? But guess what Eve knew? It was good for food. So that means that if you ate it physically, it would not poison you. Physically, it would not poison you as far as what I mean is you would not take and say... It was good for food. It was good for food. The consequences would be death down the line and spiritual death for disobeying God. But the Bible says it was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes. It was appealing. It was appealing. And it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, what was that tree called? What would that tree, if she partook of it, what did God say would happen? You'll die. Now, the other tree is called the tree of life. So I guess this one must be called the tree of death. No, it's not the name of it. Though it will give death. I mean, you know what? The tree of life, if they partaken of that, what would it give? Eternal life. They would live forever. So that tree gave what its name said it would. But this tree gives not just what its name says it would, but something else. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Did they get that? Yes, they got it. They did get the knowledge of good and evil. They got that. But they also got something else. Death. Wouldn't call the tree of death. But that's what was the result was. You see, listen, a lot of things that are out there. Young folks, listen. A lot of things out there that promise you certain things, they will deliver certain things that they say they will. But then they will also deliver things that they don't tell you that they'll give. Listen. Sin promises you momentary pleasure, and it will deliver. Okay? It will deliver. I'm just going to tell you the truth. But it only delivers temporarily, and it brings death with it. Might not happen right off. Adam, it's about 900 years later, but it happens. Spiritually, he died right then. Listen, it was a tree good for... And isn't that what you hear about every kind of sin? What's wrong with sex? God made it. Yes, he did. Did not God make that tree? Yes, he did. And he set rules up about it. God made sex? Yes, he did. And he also set the rules up about it. That tree was good for food. Is there not a proper place for the sexual relationship? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That was good for food, but not for them to eat. And you take intimacy. God set it up. But for marriage, not outside. It was pleasant to the eyes. Well, what are we going to do? Lie and say that women aren't attractive or men aren't attractive to ladies like they should be and ladies aren't attractive? Well, of course they are. What do? You say something foolish like, say, well, no, they're not. Well, of course they are. But that doesn't mean they're... Just because something is attractive to the eye does not mean it's meant to be partaken of. Better stay away from it. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. What will it... I wonder what it's like. I've never experienced that. You better not. Not until it's right and God gives a go-ahead and God says okay with it. Or you'll get more than you bargained for. You know what? Brethren, face up to things in truth. And don't make more or less than anything than what it is. Good for food. God made a lot of things, and he set the rules up about it. Did God make marijuana plants? Sure did. But for whatever purposes he made them for, he didn't give them so you would enter an altered state of consciousness. All right? God, that's how people in the mountains used to justify liquor. God made the apples. God made the corn. God made the sugar. God made all that kind of stuff. What's wrong with it? Well, he didn't mean it to be in that combination to make something that will alter your consciousness. I mean, seriously. You know, pleasant to the eyes. And let me say this. Gentlemen, you are not lusting if you acknowledge in your mind that someone is pretty or beautiful. That is not lust. That is, look, folks, if you see a sunset, a flower, or something beautiful, God has made you to be able to appreciate beauty. There's nothing wrong with that. All right? Now listen. God did not intend for you to behold nakedness other than the nakedness of your husband or wife. That is wrong. All right? That is wrong. Of course, it may be tempting to you, but it's wrong. And you can't, look, if you go out here and you're going around and you see someone that is attractive, that is not sin to acknowledge they are a very attractive person. That's not sin. That's normal. You're lying to yourself. Don't be silly. Of course the person's attractive. That's not wrong. But you're not to go after them or lust after them. And you can control that. Amen. Ladies, don't ever ask your husband a silly statement like, do you think she's pretty? Sister, you ain't got good sense. What do you want him to do? Lie to you? And guess what? If he says, well, no, he's lying, and you know he's lying. He's lying. I said, do you think she's pretty? You know what you ought to do? Well, what do you think? You think she's pretty? Well, you think she's ugly? Tell me right now, you think she's ugly? You think that woman's ugly? Well, honey, and I appreciate you. She never asked me nothing like that. And all I'm serious. I appreciate that. Because it's like, well, what do you think? Of course she's pretty. But believe it or not, if you want to believe it, I got eyes only for you. Yeah, she's pretty, but don't mean nothing to me. You understand that? You understand? Ladies, your husband can appreciate the beauty of someone and still love you like you hang the moon. Do you understand that? But if you're asking, do you think she's pretty? You're asking something that is impossible. What do you think she's pretty? Ladies, you understand beauty. You understand. Some people out there, they are. They're beautiful. You understand that? Don't you think? So you're expecting your husband to deny the ability to perceive beauty or to be, now come on. Stop that. That's the same kind of thing. I've heard some people say, well, I've never met a black person I thought was attractive. And I thought, I've seen plenty of black women I thought were absolutely beautiful. And I've seen plenty of black men that I thought were handsome as could be. And I've seen Chinese and Oriental ladies that I thought were beautiful. And Oriental men, and I've seen white people, you know, that I thought was just, you know, absolutely beautiful. And had the men very handsome. Yet, folks, there's beauty and lack of it in every, I mean, and I say lack of it. Well, you know what? What I mean by that? What I mean by that thing is this. What I mean by that? Look, one of the things that we have to face up to. Now listen, you don't call nobody ugly. Because when you do, you're setting up yourself as a standard of. But brethren, look here. Now you take a man like Dave Reaver. Man got his face destroyed in Vietnam. Dave Reaver's face is fake. He's got to pull off his nose. He can pull his ear off. That man, he got depressed, thought his wife would. Let me tell you, he said his wife come in there. Here's how she recognized him. She read at the end of the bed his name and realized that's my husband. He said he watched while other guys' wives would come in, take their wedding band off, put it on their bed and say, I can't handle this. We're done. She come in there, said, okay, that's my husband. Found the ugliest part of his face and kissed it and said, welcome home, Davy. And stood true to him and just like, and he said, and he went through a hard time because he said, man, it's rough. What are you going to do? Look at that man and say, wow, that's a handsome man. No, he's not handsome. God can give a beauty in a man or woman that transcends that by their spirit and attitude. God can give a beauty that transcends it. Brethren, oftentimes, come on, brethren, oftentimes there are folks that in this life are not going to be attractive to people as the whole. But let me tell you something. That ain't your place to be going around laughing at them, making fun of them, or saying things. You understand that? In fact, I've never understood somebody who makes fun. Guys pick at one another this night, but somebody that really says something about people or snickers about someone's, it's like, I don't understand you. You're setting yourself up as the standard. Right. I think it's not allowed. Wasn't allowed in my home by the grace of God. Wasn't allowed, won't you allow it, all right? But what I'm saying is the ability to appreciate beauty, that's just there. There's nothing wrong with that. It was pleasant to the eyes. Some things in this life, and even if you are pleasant to the eyes, they're easy on the eyes. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not lusting. And to ask your husband if you think, do you think she's pretty? Well, yeah, y'all look at her and say, well, yeah, sure is. Oh, you don't love me. You know what you do? That's where you pull a cover and say, we're going to sell this thing. Stop this quick in the bud. We're going to nip this thing quick. Stop it right now. Let's settle this thing right now. Don't you think she's attractive? That don't mean I don't love you. That don't mean I don't think that you're. That has nothing to do with that. And you stop it now. End of it. Don't have it happen again. Nip that thing quick. Don't let it go no further ever again. Take care of that one. And let me tell you something. Ladies, don't let your own insecurities, don't let the devil get a hold of that and cause you to cause all kinds of upheaval in your home with something that's foolish. All right? Why, again, I ask you, don't you think that person is attractive? Of course you do. Of course you do. Well, you think it. So he's supposed to lie and say, oh, no. Come on. But he can still love you and think that you are everything. Now, listen, that being said, again, fellas, of course you can appreciate beauty. And sin is sin. That's not sin to appreciate beauty. But that thing can move into a level, of course. Things can be, that's why so many things are thrown out. But you know what you got to do? You got to say no to certain things. You got to say no. You got to say, not going there, not doing that. I can't. Look here. If you were walking down the street and someone took a filthy magazine and flashed it in front of your eyes, you can't help that. Can't help it. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you what you can help. You can help saying, hey, fella, come back here. You can help that. And you can't help thoughts that may pop in your mind, but you can help what you dwell on. That's why, young fellas, that's why we will try to keep your mind clean. Because you know what? Men in this room have things that they saw maybe when they were 7 years old, 8 years old, and they would to God they hadn't seen it. I know a fella I came up with, and him and his brother found his daddy's dirty books and dirty tapes. Don't you know what that had to have done to them probably? Is that stuff's in their head later on? All right, you can't. And guess what? They ain't going to be able to help. But that stuff flashes in the head till the day they die. But they can fight it. They don't have to yield to it. They don't have to yield to it. You understand that? They don't have to yield to it. And you know what we're trying to do for you young folks? Help you out and make it a little easier on you. Help it out and make it a little easier on you. Helping some of the things that you hopefully ain't got to fight. Helping you out. See, devil tells you, no, I don't get to experience anything like everybody else. My world's kept so tight. No! Trying to help you. Trying to keep some things out that you want to battle with and struggle with. That's what you're trying to do. Trying to. You need to appreciate that. Pleasant to the eyes, good for food, a tree to be desired to make one wise. You know what the devil will do? He'll try to say, wonder what it's like. That curiosity. I told you there was a girl in our church in the very early 90s, and there was another girl that had come to our church, and she'd gotten saved, but she'd been a rounder. And she was only like 16, 17, but she had been a rounder. And she'd been out there, and she was very experienced, and it was horrible. And this girl had been brought up, and she didn't know anything of anything like that. This is about the late 80s, early 90s. And this girl who had been kind of very, very worldly, she came up to me and said, Pastor, And she named that other teenage girl, said, she's always asking me about what things are like with guys. And she goes, I don't want to talk about that. That wasn't right. I don't want to talk about that stuff. You know what that girl was doing? Trying to pump her for information. What's it like? Listen. See, it's curiosity. Like, she got to experience things. Oh, yes, she did. And she would to God she hadn't. She would to God she hadn't. That curiosity. You know, a lot of times, I remember when I was in eighth grade, I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone. And he was like, expressing an interest, like, what it would be like to smoke a joint. And I remember saying to him, you don't want to do that? Why? You don't want to do that? I understood. I was like, no, you don't want to do that. Don't do it. But it's like, I'm just wondering. I'm just like, y'all, look what Eve. That's a tree to be desired to make one wise. Man, maybe that'll be an experience that would be nice to, You know the thing that always helps scare the daylights out of me about drugs? See, I can't stand the feeling that I'm not in control of myself. Even for a legitimate purpose, even with medicine at times, with things or procedures, it's inevitable, you can't help yourself, but I don't like it. I don't like that feeling of I can't stand that. And as a kid, I remember reading an article about people that would take LSD and other things, and it scared the daylights out of me. It scared me to death because I was like, I don't want nothing like that. You know what especially scared me? Is because you never know with some of that stuff if you go and don't come back. Different personality types, different individuals can go and never come back. Or they have flashbacks that I was like, why would you openly roll out the red carpet to trouble in your mind and in emotions and to the devil and say, welcome? Why would you do that? Why? Good for food, pleasant in the eyes, treated to be desired to make one wise. That has something, that has knowledge I don't have. And I want to have it. Well, she got it. And a lot more than she bargained for that we're all still paying for it. And it won't just be you, it'll be others that'll get affected. Let me tell you something. When you're itching to get out, and I understand as a young person, you're not a baby, you're not a child, and you want to at times show that you can. But fellas, and I'll tell all of you, look here. You're going to be confronted with some situations. And you know what's going to happen? You are going to be odd man out. You are going to be the odd ball. And it's going to be, and people are going to be like, you don't know about that? Now I'm going to tell you, deep down, they wish they didn't. They won't admit it maybe, but they wish they were you. They won't tell you that. Pride won't let them, but they wish they were you. And the devil's going to try to wear you down. And you know what he'll do? He'll do it incrementally. 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 I don't think most people start out on heroin. I don't think most people start out on LSD. Believe it or not, I think a lot of times it starts out with, you break a good barrier with a cigarette. You break a good barrier with a cigarette. Because, for the most part, most parents aren't going to let their kids sit in the living room. So you got to sneak around. You sneak around because it's wrong, right? And if you've gone from inhaling this smoke, which probably gave you a little bit of a buzz, all right, then it's like, well, everybody knows smoking joints. And so then it's to that. And then after that, it becomes then the next one and then the next one. But let me tell you something else. And I'll just lay it out to you because I love you. I'm your pastor and I love you. I love you. Listen to me. We're now in transgender, right? We're now in transgender. Well, how do you think this stuff gets started? You break down dressing barriers between differences between men and women incrementally, bit by bit, and little by little. Most bathroom doors used to show a woman in a skirt and a man. That defines something. And I'll be. what is so wrong in our churches that such a thing becomes such an issue when it's like it's as safe as can be and right? So it's like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? What's the big deal? Okay, here we go. Now here we are. Do you think it happened overnight? It's just like drugs. It don't happen overnight. You wear people down. You break them down bit by bit to where you don't have distinctions between how a male dresses and a female dresses. And little by little, you get to where you say, well, it don't happen like that. Good night, it does. And here we are. Folks, it's crazy. And the scary thing, this world hadn't seen anything yet. Yes, sir.
I was at a juvenile summit on Tuesday, had all DJJ there. There was a doctor that spoke and said you can't assign gender at birth. It was all about the LGBT community coming in and suicide and all that. Basically, I've heard her speak before, but she said you can't assign, you're not allowed to assign identity at birth between male parts and female parts. That's not how you determine identity. It's when a child chooses it.
Folks, listen to me a minute. People come up, and because of all kind of things, people can have temptations or leanings or things. But that doesn't mean that that defines who you're. You let God's word. Let's suppose. And once again, brother, when you open that door, where does it stop? Brother, y'all have heard me speak. Okay, and say. Okay, if a person says that, well, I like. A female says, I like women. A man says, I like men. Does it? Well, what if somebody says, well, I like dogs? And you might say, now, preacher. It's happening. It's happening. It happened in the Bible. It happened again. Don't you see? Don't you see? I understand the world not getting it. What I don't understand is people sitting in church that don't get it. I understand that people reading the Bible don't get it. Y'all listen. Young folks, why does it have to be how close I can get to the border? Why does it always have to be how close I can get? Why not what is safe, sound, and clearly defines and delineates me? But here we go. And we've not seen anything yet. You've not seen anything. Seriously. And it starts with little things. Little things. And when the breakdowns start coming. I mean, brethren, I'm serious. I'm not trying to be ugly about this thing. I'm not. But I'm saying, come on. Here to define a bathroom. And they're still up there. How do you know which one's the girl ones? Well, it's got to. Well, that says something. But when those things start getting broken down, but that's the kind of thing the devil's looking at. Gets the next ground, pushes it forward. Y'all listen, it is serious, serious matters. And he just looks for that one little inroad. And I'm going to tell you something. There are things happening that are just defying explanation. It's as if the powers of darkness are just feeling the momentum that they have. But we've got to where we can stem the flood. Young folks, listen, nothing changes. I say young folks, all of you, all of us in here, nothing changes. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Why don't I get to do this? That's, you know, look at all the things that appealed to Eve. But God said no. God said no. God said no to that thing. Well, she got it. And she got a lot more than she bargained for. Take your Bible, go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Why does it always have to be? Now, folks, young folks, I love you. I love you. But if your parent sets a rule or feels a certain way, let me ask you something. Why do things that a rule or something a parent may lay out, that they're not asking you to do anything sinful? Why would it cause such contention? Why would it have to be? Look here, I'm just going to lay it out here. Let's suppose, don't come up to me tonight and try to talk to me about this issue, pro or con or whatever. I'm just going to pull one out of, I'm using an illustration. Get the illustration. Let's suppose that a parent said, I don't want you wearing earrings to the daughter. Okay? Is that a sinful thing that he's asking you to do? Is that sinful? Well, it's not, is it? He's not asking you to do anything against the Word of God, is it? Not at all. So let me ask you something. What would the spiritual and right and loving attitude and decision of yours be? Is that worth it? Would it be worth it that a parent, even if you didn't see it, would it be worth it to go and sulk, pitch a fit or anything over that? Isn't there a higher degree of something here that's my parent that definitely asked me to go against the Word of God? I am under. Do you understand? Do you understand, young folks, when something becomes such a thing, I've got to do this. I've got to be allowed to do this. I'm unhappy. I'm upset because I can't do this. All right, let me ask you something. What if your parent, I love you. What if your parent said, you can't read your Bible? Would you go, I can't read my Bible. I can't read my Bible. What am I going to do? I can't read my Bible. Oh, God in heaven, no. No, what am I going to do? I got to read my Bible. I got to, what's it going to? How many kids would go sulk in a room and get bitter because they couldn't be allowed to read their Bible, maybe? But a parent asks you to do something concerning a mode of dress or a mode of whatever, and it's like, my life's over, it's ruined, I'm being, whoa. Put some things in perspective. Now, I'm serious. I'm just as serious as I can be. And let me tell you something. Moms and dads, I know it's hard. I know it's hard. Because you know what? Don't you feel like sometimes, I don't think there's a parent in this room wants to be a dictator. I don't think there's a parent in this room wants to be a dictator. But I guarantee you parents, you struggle at times. God, I want to set the standards of holiness. God, I want, but yet you see out there oftentimes people just caving in and caving in, and it starts making you feel like, well, Lord, I don't want to do something, put something on my family. I don't have to, but dear God, I don't want to compromise, but oh, Lord. That's a heavy load. That's a hard thing, bud. It's a hard thing. And young folks, I love you, but you can't understand it until you become a parent. It's hard. It's hard. Because you don't want to be a tyrant. And yet you see so many all around the professing Christianity giving in. And you're like, well, Lord, I don't want to put something excessive, but I'll be God. I don't want to compromise. And Lord, I want to take my ground and stand and be in God. Help me. And it becomes hard. And moms and dads, I love you. I want to try to pray for you, and I appreciate you. And I want to try to support you and help you, and I understand, I know. And young folks, I love you. I love you. But understand, your parents are trying. They're working hard with things. And put some things in perspective. All right, you might not understand something, but you're going to make a big deal about it? Well, would you make that big a deal if they said, well, look, you can't come to church? Oh, well, that's not good. Would you sulk about that? Would you not? I mean, I'm serious. Where's the heart at? Where's the heart at? Yes, if you're going to live holy, you're going to stand out and be different. Now, folks, I just pulled an illustration out of my hat here a while ago. All right? I wasn't trying to tell you. I just pulled one out of my hat. But I'm just telling you. Look here. What we should let dictate to us is, oh, God, teach me and guide me. Show me how I can be, Lord, acceptable to you and how I can take and honor you. Y'all have heard me tell this story too. Some of you maybe haven't, but you'll hear it again. Never will forget. Me and Sarah one time was going to Bilo one night there near Sangaree. And there was a girl there working. And she, I could just tell, she had been, that girl, there was something different about her. She had a skirt on. She was dressed very modestly, and she was very humble. And you know what I did? I want to encourage somebody, right? So I went up to her and I said, hey, I said, me and Sarah was with me. And I said, hey, I just want you to know I appreciate how you're dressed right there. And I appreciate that and how you, that's a blessing. And she brightened up and she appreciated it. That's a blessing. Well, we didn't go to that Bilo all the time, but we happened to be in there about a couple of weeks later. She was dressed the same. But she was bantering with the boys bagging. And she dressed the same, but something was different. And she was bantering back and forth with them. And I remember thinking, oh no. Oh no. Oh, I know, I know. Brother Doss, just looking for something. Okay, whatever. Whatever. But I was just not like, man. I didn't say anything to her. Because goodness, I didn't even know her. I didn't want to think I'm a creeper or something like that and everything, you know. But it concerned me, you know. So, never saw her again in that Bilo. A couple of months later, right? I'm going down 17A. And there's a place there. It's near Ridge Baptist Church, right? They sold sheds and everything. And near right there, I saw a girl out in some tight shorts. Pretty tight, all right? And mowing a yard. And I'm like, I think it was her. Oh my goodness, I think it was her. I was like, no, surely not. But I could not get it off my mind. So a week or so later, I just pulled in there. And I saw a man and a wife and some, you know, and I just went up to her and said, hey, I said, my name's so-and-so. I said, I pastor a church around here. I said, not too long ago, I saw a girl in Bilo and she was dressed real modest and it was a blessing to us. And I said, I thought I saw her. Does she live here? And that daddy bowed his head down. And he said, she told us about you. She told us that you. He said, preacher, my girl's not right with God now. She's left home. She's gone off to the world. And it just hurt. It just hurt. Because you know what? I'm not saying she can't get back to... I'm not saying... But you know what? There's some baggage now. There's some baggage and some scars now that did not have to be. You know what? Probably best thing in the world, that girl never worked at Bilo. I'm just going to tell you, that's between her... I'm just going to tell you, is it worth that? I mean, maybe she's been stronger. I don't know. I'm just telling you. But man, I'm used to you, so I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Was it worth that? Young folks, in whatever, if you claim salvation, is God guiding you? Or are your desires guiding you? Is God guiding you? you fellas, you girls, look, are you trying to at least seek God? So I'm not saved. I don't matter. He's still there. He's still God. He'll honor a prayer. He'll honor a prayer. Honestly seeking wisdom and guidance. Are you seeking what God wants? I don't know. Maybe she was like, well, I just want, and I better, I bet you her daddy was like, and you know, I tried to encourage her. But I guess what I saw? Step by step. That thing didn't happen overnight. It was a gradual. She's gone. So what happens later on? And I don't know, so what I'm going to say next, what I've told you so far, I know about. I don't know what would happen next. What happens next? Maybe you think it don't happen? Shoot, happened to my grandma, this kind of stuff. So maybe she goes next thing. Maybe she does come back home with a belly out to here with baby and no fella. So now she gets herself right with God. Hope so. Glory to God. But you know what? You now, any young boy her age, you got a baby in tow too? I don't know if we'll quite want that. I don't know. And you know what she's going to have to do? Get bitter? No, she's going to have to swallow her hard, shed some tears that nobody sees at night and say, Lord, it's nobody's fault but mine. And God help me. Y'all, just telling you. Right now, this moment, who do you love? You love the Father? Or do you love this present world? Who do you love? Who do you love? Matthew 4, I'll just tell you this. If you'll go and read it, I'm going to go on, but I just want to say this. Go check it out for yourself. Jesus was hit the same three areas. And the three areas that Jesus was hit in, they fall under the heading of lust of the eyes, pride of life, and lust of the flesh. But 1 Corinthians 7, go there a minute. 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not, and they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. Use this world without loving or abusing it. Use it without loving or abusing. The word abuse means to misuse. To use with bad motives or the wrong purposes. The Bible says, we just saw it in Luke tonight, Luke chapter 16, about the mammon of unrighteousness. About the mammon. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. You can use mammon. You can use money. You can use the things of this world. You're not to serve them. Listen, you use money, don't let it use you. Master money for the use of God and others. Don't let it master you. All right? Mark, listen, real quick, if you go back to Philemon, he said Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas. Marcus, you know what Marcus did? Marcus departed one time. Remember? Mark departed from Paul. But it was never said that he departed because he loved this present world. Mark departed. But it is never said Marcus departed because he loved this present world. It may have been because he was young, immature. He got, he just was afraid. Who knows what it was? Who knows what it was? But it never was said because he loved this present world. And Marcus got back in line. He got beyond it. It did not define him. Of Demas, it was said, having loved this present world. In 4 years, Demas either changed or either who and what he really was became known. One of the two. Either he changed or what he really was finally came out. Let me ask you something. If the Lord hadn't come back and we're all still alive in 4 years, if you're still here in 4 years, will you still be here? I'm not talking about God moving on in his will. I'm saying, let's just suppose, if you're still here in 4 years, will you still be here? You know what I'm saying. If you're still here, will you really be here? Not just in body. If you're still here 4 years from here, will you still be here? Because let me tell you something. Before somebody ever goes, before Demas left, guarantee he left. Look, his heart was gone. He departed to Thessalonica. Let me tell you something. I guarantee his heart was in Thessalonica way before his body got there. That girl I saw, that thing didn't happen overnight. It was incremental. Will you choose to love this world rather than God, or will what you have been all along finally come public because you just can't keep up the game? Maybe 4 years earlier, Demas thought that the Lord would have already returned. Maybe he thought he would have already died. I don't know if he's saved, lost. I don't know what his thinking was. But I'll tell you this, you better settle in for the long haul. Settle in for the duration. Day by day, step by step. Seriously. Don't put no timetable on it, short or long. Don't know that everything in the Bible will happen. Just don't maybe not know the timetable of it. And whether your life is short or long, settle in for the duration. Step by step, moment by moment. But are you in for the long haul, no matter what? A lot of times some people, they get so they're like, well, the Lord will be back. I've had people tell me, I know I'm not going to live to such and such age. I had a guy tell me, I won't live past 30. I think he's close to 50 now. It was Florence Nightingale, or one of them gals back in, got in her head, I'm about to die. Took to her sick bed and lived like 20 more years or something like that. And was okay, but just got it in her head. So I'm just telling you, I don't know. Maybe Demas, I don't know why. I don't know if he's saved, lost. But I'll tell you what I do know. He no longer had the love of the Father. I don't know if he ever had it, but he didn't have it then. And I guarantee it, before his body ever got Thessalonica, his heart was already there. You leave in heart and mind before you ever leave in body. That friend of mine I told you about, that brother, before he ever left, his wife, the ministry, before he ever left, he was already out in heart. He was gone in heart and mind way before he ever went in body. You might want to catch that thing quick while you've got a chance, before the damage is done. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Who do you love? Where's your love at? If your love has strayed, get it back on the Father. Use this world. You're in it. It's fine. Don't love it. Don't live for it. Don't make it your master. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, all sins under those same headings, I really believe. Same kind of things. Yes, some things are pleasant to look at. It's fine. Good for food. God may have made it, established it, but he also set the rules for it. It may provide some knowledge you don't have, you've not been able to experience yet. But what did God say? You may get what you're wanting and never be able to enjoy it like you thought you would. You may be able to take... I'm telling you, you understand? You understand that? All because she wouldn't obey. All because her heart was not toward God, but for what she wanted. And the same thing happens. And the consequences of it go on, for good or for bad. I can't elaborate much more on what I've said here, but there it is. Will you take it to heart? Or will you just say, I'll tell you what's dangerous. If you go and say, I've got my own ideas. Well, I'm sure you do, but that's scary. Show me where I was wrong with any of this. Show me where these principles aren't right. You know they're right. What are you going to do with it? Why would I stand up here and do this? Why would I stand up here and tell you this? When maybe it could make you mad, make you upset, make you to where you just blow me off, turn me off, or look for you first. Why would I do it? Because I care. Because I care. And these principles are true and they're plain and they're right. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And that shows us the love of the Father was not there. And he goes down recorded as that's what we see of Demas. And you got to flip a coin of what he really was. Well, what are you? Are you the real deal? Are you the real deal? Or is what you really are coming out? Or is it just maybe that you're starting to love this world rather than simply using it for the glory of God and using it in the right way? Or are you starting to abuse this world and love it and let it be your master? Catch it quick while you can. Father, dear Lord, dear Lord, dear Lord.
Lord, dear precious Lord. Oh, Father, nothing changes, nothing changes. It's the same things. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. A tree to be desired to make one lot wise. There's some things I don't know about, I've not experienced, I want to know about. Some things that look nice, they look enticing, they look inviting. And if it's so wrong, then didn't God make it? Didn't God? Oh, Father, you made that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you also made the rules about it. Father, you gave us intimacy, but you set the rules about it. Lord, you are the one that set up, Lord, relationships and things, and you're the one that set up rules. And Lord, you're the one that said distinctions between men and women. And Father, why must it be that we have to always push the edge? Why must it be we've got to always try to find a gray area? Why must it be we must always contend rather than, Lord, doing the best we can to just stay in the safest area we can? Father, help us to understand the doctrine of expediency. Paul said all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. It's not always the best thing. Father, it all gets around, I believe, as to where our heart is toward Thee. And may each and every one of us, Father, really ask ourselves, are we trying to love You as we ought, walk with You, and can we really say, we're letting You guide us in our decisions because of a love and a close walk with Thee. Help us to be honest, Lord. Honest with ourselves, honest with Thee. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.